Are you obsessed with Los Angeles? Head over heels in love with the City of Angels? Well, this is the podcast for you. At Life Hacks LA, we hack the best in arts, eats, and activities in Los Angeles. So join us and become an LA hacker. Hey, this is your host, Stefan, and welcome to episode number 92 of the Life Hacks LA podcast. Today, we're hacking the Neon Retro Arcade in Old Pasadena with the owners, Mark and Mia. The Neon Retro Arcade is a beloved classic little gem with pinball and old school arcade games. Now, we love these type of interviews because we get a behind-the-scenes look at some of our favorite LA businesses and the stories directly from the people responsible for them on how it all came about. Okay, I hope you enjoy this conversation with Mia and Mark from Neon Retro Arcade, and make sure you stay tuned for the end of the episode where I'll be sharing my own secret little hack for arcades in LA. See you on the other side. Okay, quick question. Have you ever woken up Monday morning, opened Instagram, and realized that you missed out on some really cool LA events that past weekend? Also, do you ever want to hook up with people who love the city of LA and what it has to offer as much as you do? You know, hang out with friends who don't think it's weird that you want to run around all over Los Angeles exploring every cool restaurant, museum, bar, and new pop-up. Well, if that sounds like you, then I have something that's a perfect fit for you. It's called the LA Hackers Club, and we just officially launched it. When you join the LA Hackers Club, you get a private text from me every Friday morning with my best suggestions of what to do in LA that weekend, so you know you're not missing out on anything. We will also have special deals, discounts, and giveaways just for this group. Okay, also when you join, you will be a part of the LA Hacker Meetups. We will be having private events and meetups all over the city where you can meet and hang out with people who are just as passionate about hacking Los Angeles as you are. The events will be a mix of all the best LA has to offer. So there will be adult-only activities. Some events will be family-friendly so you can bring your kids. Some will be outdoor stuff, and some will be at venues. Also, some events will be free, and some we will all have to pay a cost for the event, but it's going to be exclusive just for our group, so it's always something unique that you can only experience by being a part of the LA Hackers Club. Okay, to join the club, it's only $5 a month. Yes, only $5. We wanted to make it as affordable as possible, and it's basically just to help cover our cost at this point. But the monthly price will be going up in the future as we add more events and it costs more to manage it. So you definitely want to jump in right now at only $5 a month before we raise the price. And of course, you can cancel anytime. To join, go to lifehacksla.com/join the club. That's lifehacksla.com/join the club. Okay, I can't wait to see you in the LA Hackers Club, and I can't wait to meet you in person and hack LA together. Hello and welcome our guests today, Mia and Mark, owners of the Neon Retro Arcade in Old Pasadena. How are you today?
Hey, we're good. Well. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you guys on. I was just there at your location recently. I love old school arcade games and businesses like yours. So it's awesome to have you both on. Before we get into the Neon Retro Arcade, though, I wanted to ask you guys about your history here. Where did you grow up? And if it was in Southern California, what brought you to this area?
Sure, definitely. So I actually did grow up in the area. I was born and raised in Highland Park. My parents have basically lived in the same house since the 60s. So that's where I'm from. And because Highland Park wasn't really as developed as it is now, it's like completely night and day from when I was growing up. We did tend to spend a lot of time as a family in Pasadena.
Yeah, I've been moving around quite a bit. And arcades have kind of been a big part of, you know, that process, and I've always looked for the same games and sort of some continuity as I was moving around. So it was, I can see the connection.
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about your business, the amazing Neon Retro Arcade. I think for most of us growing up in the 80s or 90s, owning your own retro arcade is probably the coolest thing you can think of as an adult, you know, of having your own business. Can you describe it for us and then tell us what personally inspired you to start it? And what was the process like when you first opened up the arcade from idea to actually opening the doors?
Yeah, totally. So Neon Retro Arcade is an admission-based arcade. All of the games in our venue are set to free play so that you don't need quarters, tokens, or game cards. But we do charge admission. So it's $15 for an hour of game time. And then you can also do an all-day pass, which actually I would say probably half the people who come in now do. So you can get an all day pass for $25, which basically allows you to come in from open to close if you'd like. And we give wristbands so that you can come in and out if you want to go grab food or drinks. We don't actually serve food or drinks at our venue. It's basically just an arcade, but we love that part of it. And that was actually kind of a conscious decision for us, was to really focus on the games because starting this business is definitely not easy. It's a fun one. But it actually, there's a lot more work that goes into it than someone would think, because it is kind of a niche, odd business. There's a lot of like permitting and, you know, approvals that you need to even get started. So that was something that really took a long time. I mean, we'd really been thinking about our business for probably years before we actually opened it. And it was a struggle to find anyone in LA who would even rent to us, even with, you know, the right funding and good credit backgrounds and everything. That didn't matter. People just hear arcade and automatically want to say no. So really grateful to our landlord in Pasadena who, you know, took the time to hear us out, get to know us and take a chance on us, because that really made all the difference for our business.
Yeah. And, you know, we met in college and during college, I had always sort of had a connection to arcade games, pinball machines, and decided with my roommates, like, hey, let's just put in a pinball machine in the dorm. So we found one that was actually one that I remember playing a lot as a kid. We had that in the dorm and had a ton of fun. At one point, I think we got up to three different machines that we crammed in that tiny place. It was kind of ridiculous, but it was a ton of fun for us. And then that kind of taught me how to do some of the maintenance and things like that. It was a lot of fun over the years, you know, as I had a little more time, a little more space, was able to collect a couple arcade games, put that in there. And the collection sort of grew and grew. And at a certain point, we started talking about it. You said, you know, maybe there is something here. Maybe we can do something with this. And so that's kind of how this was born. As Mia mentioned, it was, you know, kind of a long process to come together from the sort of imagining stage all the way through our grand opening. It took a lot of time, a lot of effort and everything else, but it was really rewarding. And it's great to see the kind of reactions on people's face that I always associated with arcades myself, which was, you know, you go through and their faces light up when they see a game that they're really familiar with or something that's really kind of cool, catches their eye. And for us, being able to recreate that sort of social atmosphere is a big part of why we do what we do.
Yeah, and it's very interesting that we're talking about how you had struggles with the location, because we'll get into it a little bit later. But one of the best things about your arcade is the location. I mean, so it all worked out. I mean, Old Pasadena is just a perfect place for it.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I was just at the arcade recently. You talked about maintenance, Mark. And one of the things you notice right away is how impeccable the games are. So I've been to a lot of other old school arcades, and you know, a lot of the games look like they just came straight out of the 80s. They haven't been touched since then. So where do you get these games from, and how do you keep them in such pristine condition?
Absolutely. That's always one of the big struggles, maintaining these machines, because they are, you know, 30, sometimes 40 years old. Maintenance is definitely a challenge. And like you said, when we get the games, sometimes it's clear that they really haven't been taken care of in decades. You know, it's a big part of what we do is to make sure that these games are presented properly. And so at the arcade, you know, we're cleaning the games every single day. They get cleaned and maintained. But even beforehand, you know, when I get a machine, the first thing I try to do is just take it completely apart, take all the glass apart, all the control panels apart, everything, just get to areas that probably literally haven't been cleaned in decades or more. And just give it a thorough cleaning. And that is always something that makes, you know, a huge difference when you are able to present it at the arcade. That's what really shows, you know, the love that goes into it. So, I mean, most of the buttons get replaced on the games, some of the joysticks, you know, we want to make sure that when the game lands at the arcade, it's in great reconditioned shape. We don't shy away from a game showing its age. So, you know, it's fine if it has some scratches and things. To me, that's just sort of like battle damage that shows that this game saw a lot of love over the years. But it's always important to us to present these games in sort of a context that that we think they deserve.
Yeah, and I think it fits the overall vibe of the place because, you know, it's just so spotless clean in there. You know, it's not just the games. It's like, because, you know, sometimes I think of video games and I'm thinking, oh God, Chuck E. Cheese type thing where there's people, you know, it's just kind of gross. But
yeah, that was definitely a conscious decision for us too, is because, you know, we obviously grew up in the arcades, like back in the 80s and 90s and whatnot. For us, like the ones that we went to were a lot different than the one we have today. And that's because we want it to be a comfortable place where, you know, obviously people can come and feel comfortable and safe. And, you know, parents are a big part of the people who visit the arcade. So, you know, wanting to make sure that, you know, moms and dads bring their kids in feeling like, oh, this is a place where it's okay for my kids to touch things.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, that was definitely important to us. And our staff is really great about making sure that, you know, they maintain everything properly. We care a lot about that for sure.
Yeah, I definitely remember there were a lot of conversations like that when we were imagining what it would look like and, you know, oh, it should be like this and it should be like, you know, I remember this. And okay, but one thing that we remember that we don't want to recreate was sort of the overall environment, because a lot of them, you know, weren't the way we imagined it. So yeah, that's one of the things that we consciously decided, like, to make sure over and above that we kept it a nice, clean environment for everybody to enjoy.
Yeah, it really helps with the vibe too. So that's a great decision.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So I wanted to ask you about, you had mentioned that you don't serve food and drinks. So one of my favorite things to do is to go to a barcade, have a few drinks and play some old school games. But I have an 8-year-old son. So I also truly appreciate Neon Retro Arcade and the fact that you guys don't serve alcohol. So it's very family friendly and kid friendly when I want to take him out with me. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Has it always been in your plans to have an alcohol-free arcade, and what went into that decision? Because I know, you know, that's how a lot of places make money, is with the alcohol sales.
Yeah, definitely. So that is something that we early on kind of considered whether it was something we would implement. So we started like really kind of thinking about this idea way back in 2012. And it was, you know, kind of before the really boom like resurgence of arcades kind of back in culture again. And we were like, you know, maybe the only way for it to be successful is to do, you know, a bar and restaurant. We had no background in business when we started Neon. So it was kind of like, you know, we were learning a lot of things along the way. And it just felt like, you know, one extra big hurdle that was going to, you know, the liquor license and like the food licenses and all that stuff, that as much as we think it could have been cool, it was just like, you know, let's just take one step at a time and like kind of figure things out. Like, you know, we don't have any big investment firms funding us. It was basically our life savings. And, you know, we just wanted to kind of like dip our toe in before we went all in with like huge investment on food and beverage and all that. And certainly like we definitely had this kind of thought in mind that like maybe taking that part of it out, like taking the booze out of our arcade would make it more accessible to families. You know, it's not to say that you couldn't have like, you know, beer at a place where kids are, but it just felt like, you know, maybe if we just kind of like take that out of the equation, it would maybe open it up to more younger generations and, you know, help us in our mission to really preserve the games, because these are really classic games. And a big part of starting the business was like, hey, these are really amazing games that we want, you know, the public to remember and kind of keep in their heart so that they can be, you know, have a longer lifespan. And in introducing them to younger generations is a huge part of that. Like if the only people that play them are the ones who grew up with them, you know, eventually that kind of dies off and like, you know, you don't have that kind of classic preserved anymore. But if you introduce them to new generations who can take that love for it and continue it forward, then they do have like a longer life. And that's something that we really appreciate about not having alcohol in our space. And as we've kind of moved on with our business and kind of found a business model that would, you know, kind of help sustain that, which is why we do the admission-based model instead of quarters. You know, that's something that we were like, you know, this works for us. This is kind of a more fit to our personalities. While we do like going to barcades, they're a lot of fun. It's just not something that we really kind of envision for our own life as running one. So yeah, that's kind of what really the basis was for that.
Yeah. And it definitely has a different vibe to it, like you said. So, I mean, you can bring a kid to a barcade, or some of them, not all of them, mm-hmm. Sure. But, yeah, you know, it's just a different experience at Neon Retro. So it's really good if you want to bring your kids, like you said, and introduce them to all these games you loved as a kid yourself.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Now, I wanted to ask you about that as well, because I think anyone over the age of 30, I think part of the appeal is the nostalgia, obviously, right? Because you remember playing these games when you were a kid. You want to go back and play them again. But I've noticed that a lot of younger generation loves these games as well, loves Neon Retro Arcade. So I wanted to ask you about that, just because they have so much competition for their attention now, and the games that they have access to are so over the top. So why do you think these old school arcade games still have such an appeal to the younger generation?
I think these games, they truly are classics in a lot of ways in their simplicity. You know, when we do have kids come to the arcade, a lot of them maybe are familiar with some of the characters, but they're familiar with them through other ways. And this is kind of like, oh, where they got their start. But the one thing that we found, even if a child is very young, you can put them in front of a Pac-Man machine and just tell them run away from the ghosts and they'll figure that out. Like, yeah. These games are like so simple to pick up. Now, not every game, of course, some are a little more complex, but a lot of them, there's just this like beautiful simplicity to them. And while some of them take a little more time to, you know, to really master, anyone can just jump in and start playing. The other thing that we found when we're looking at some of the other types of games that kids play, if you go to some places, some of the games seem more oriented towards tickets. And, you know, it's almost like put in your money, push one button, and maybe you win something. And the thing that we loved about these games growing up is, you know, you'd hit start, you'd play, and then your skill is what determined how far you progressed in the game. And I feel like that's something that's missing in a lot of sort of more modern arcade games these days. And then when you're talking about games at home, you know, even when you're playing online, either with friends or with other people, there's just that social component that it's so hard to recreate that we wanted to produce in the arcade, which is sort of that shoulder to shoulder type of environment where you're playing with someone, you know, right across from you. And it's fun seeing people just sort of, hey, do you mind if I jump in here, and they play a game together? Or, you know, the other thing is, you know, if they're adults and they're playing Street Fighter, well, you got to watch your trash talk, you know, because the person's standing right there. It's not like they're talking to you through a microphone or something. So it's just a really cool social environment that is really important to what we do. And that's something that we want. It was really important for us.
Yeah, it's really hard to replicate that at home, even with all the home entertainment systems that are available. And, you know, a lot of people can download classic games on their phone and play them that way. But there's just something really, I think, hard to replicate when you think about like that tactile like form of entertainment, when you're like, you know, you're playing with the joystick and you see all the colors right in front of you. And like, you know, you hear the music blaring over the speakers, and there's, you know, just this social environment that you can't recreate at home. So I think the kids are drawn to that. And oftentimes we'll hear parents say like, you have a Nintendo Switch at home, why aren't you just playing this at home? You know, and the kids, it's, you can, we know exactly why, because they're like meeting people and showing off their skills with like different, like, you know, whether it's friends that they know or people they've never met before. And there's just something really cool about that. So we love that. And it's really fun to be a part of something like that. So yeah, we're really proud of that for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely part of the whole experience that you guys offer at Neon Retro Arcade. So I can see that's why they're drawn to it, you know, because it's video games, but it's a totally different experience, like you explained. Now, do people ever rent out the entire place for parties and stuff?
Pre-COVID, we had a lot of that, actually. Yeah, like people would rent them for, you know, kids parties and adult parties. You know, they'd bring in their own caterer and DJs and things like that. Or, you know, we've had people do filming and whatnot at the arcade. Obviously, COVID sort of threw that off a little bit. And we're just kind of, you know, with everything going on, we're still being pretty cautious just to kind of keep it, you know, as safe and as possible and keep our doors open as long as we can. Because, you know, we were shut down for a long while and we just don't want to kind of risk any potential shutdown. So yeah, we're kind of just taking it easy for now. But yes, that is something that we did do. Events was a big part of what we did before.
Yeah. And you mentioned COVID, Mia. So I did want to ask you about that because, you know, it's been such a challenge for all businesses in California. And I can imagine, especially with a business like yours. So can you talk to us a little bit about what it's been like for the past year for your business specifically? What was it like in the early days of COVID? What's it like now? And how have you been able to pivot and deal with that difficult situation?
Yeah, it was, it's been a really hard, I guess it's been almost like 17 months or something like that now. But basically the arcade was closed for 15 months. So the vast majority of the pandemic. So since March of, you know, 2020, I guess, until just basically a couple months ago, June of 2021, is when we reopened. And, you know, it really was an extremely tough road, especially in the beginning when obviously we're, the whole world was navigating, you know, how are we going to get through this? One of the things that we kind of felt right away was like, wow, we're really going to get tossed aside here because, you know, obviously, you know, with restaurants and whatnot, that is considered an essential business because, you know, people do have to eat or whatnot. Grocery stores, you know, retail environments like that, sure, like they never, you know, I don't say never got shut down, but they were, they had definitely less restrictions than a business like ours would, where, you know, many people could argue you don't need an arcade to survive. So, you know, we kind of just sort of got tossed aside for a long while. And it was really tough. I mean, it felt like our industry isn't big enough to get the attention of lawmakers to lobby them to, you know, kind of either help out with with relief funds, or even just to like kind of consider, hey, like, can we do, you know, can we open up, but, you know, with masks only, or, you know, all those kinds of things that like movie theaters, you know, had obviously plenty of lobbyists to kind of assist them through it. And that's kind of the hard part of being a niche business, is there are just some things that we really don't have the power to control. Certainly early on with all of the government funding that kind of had rolled out, we were like, well, let's try to get this. And, you know, there was big businesses that just swooped in and took it all up front. And, you know, so there were a lot of challenges to really navigate. And for a long time, it was just an extremely depressing situation, you know, much like everyone was dealing with. But particularly since this is our sole source of income, our livelihood, it felt particularly bad. And we just really didn't know if we'd be able to survive. One thing that really was fantastic and surprising was that we had a community that could really, that really rallied around us, super loyal people who were willing to really chip in and see that we did succeed. So, you know, we had a GoFundMe that our loyal community chipped in on and, you know, helped us get through a really couple of tough months before all the government funding could kick in and that we could secure it. And that was just such a huge weight lifted off our shoulders. And it really helped us see, like, as hard as this is, as tough as it's going to be to get through this, this is worth fighting for, because look at all the people that really care about this and want to see it survive. So it really helped light a fire in a really dark time and pushed us through to the other side. We did have to make some tough decisions along the way. We had two locations before the pandemic, and now we only have the one in Pasadena. But, you know, tough choices really had to be made. And, you know, we're grateful that we are still here in some capacity, and hope that that we can do our supporters proud.
No, as I say, I mean, the early days really tough, and we were hopeful that, hey, maybe this would, you know, go fairly quickly and just last a month or two. And, you know, we told our staff that, you know, hey, we want to make sure to support you guys, but, you know, the longer this goes on, our hands might be tied. And, you know, that was always important for us, is to do right by everybody involved. I mean, thankfully throughout this, you know, we've been very fortunate with our health and our families, things like that. But, you know, it's of course affected tons of people in our orbit. And that's always the main thing. We are also fortunate that, you know, we were able to reopen. There was definitely a time when we thought that would be completely impossible. And thankfully through the support of the community and everything, we were able to push through and make it happen. But there was definitely a lot of times last year where we thought we wouldn't be having this conversation today because there would be no more arcade. So, you know, while it was definitely our toughest year, it also gave us a lot of hope, and we're very fortunate and grateful to be back where.
Yeah, I can't imagine being shut down for a year. But like you said, some positive came out of it is the community rallied around you guys. You're back open, and we want to do everything we can to support you. So Neon Retro Arcade, everyone go check it out because it's amazing. I wanted to ask you guys, this question is for both of you. You probably heard this before, but or I've been asked this before. What's the one game that you absolutely crush on? Like no one stands a chance against you.
Yeah, that, it's kind of a tough one. I say, you know, these days, because of all the other things that pull our attention, we don't get to play as many games maybe as we used to. I always tell people that my favorite game in the moment is the one that's not having any problems, because that's a big part of what
we have. A different perspective now.
Yeah, very different perspective, you know, when you're a collector to, you know, now you're basically an operator. But there are certain games that we gravitate back towards if we're playing. For me, I kind of find like I get in a groove of a few months where I'm like really into a certain game, and then I find a new one to kind of jump into. Lately, the ones that I really enjoy, Robotron, is just such a fun game. And if you just want to be like laser focused for a short period of time and do the best, that's a great game to jump into. And then there's always Street Fighter is always a super fun game, although I'm not that amazing at it. And for a while we had, you know, kind of staff battles where everyone would just sort of challenge each other, but it became pretty clear pretty quickly who was the top of that. And it was not me.
And Mark's been fortunate enough to have like professional Street Fighter II players come and like challenge him, and he's a good sport and hangs in there. But you learn very quickly how good some people really are out there. So we're not in that level of playing, but, and we don't get to play as much as we would like, or as much as people would assume if you own an arcade. But for me, Super Mario Brothers is my favorite arcade game in the building right now, just because, you know, for me, even though it wasn't the first game that I ever played, I probably spent the most hours of my life playing that particular game. So it's funny to me when I play it now, you know, every once in a while when I get to, I'm like, wow, it's so amazing how it's just like that muscle memory of like remembering where all the little secret, secret pipes are and everything. And it just comes back to you. And the music obviously just takes you back to a time that was really great in your life. So for me, that's my game.
Yeah. And I guess thinking about it, you know, the closest thing in my mind that recreates that feeling of like, wow, a fresh, fun experience is, you know, while video games generally, you know, we're still focused on the retro side of it, there are still new pinball machines that have themes that are either retro or relevant to today and stuff. And so whenever we get a new pinball machine delivered, that's always like unboxing that pinball machine is like the amazing moment of like opening the treasure chest and it's just timing, you know, and getting the first couple games of that in is like such a fun experience. And then the thing to me though, that's the best is when, you know, I always try to play the first game, just make sure everything's solid. You know, I'm just testing. But then after that, there's always somebody in the arcade who's kind of watching over my shoulder as we've been setting up. And then I get to say, okay, do you want to be the, you know, the first guest to try it out? And they're like thrilled because we normally don't announce when a game comes in. We just announce once it's set up. Mm-hmm. And so that's always a fun experience for them too. Like, wow, I came on the perfect day, man. We just got a brand new game delivered in. So that's always a blast for sure.
Yeah, I could see that because some of those pinball machines are like works of art. I mean, they're so beautiful. So I'm going to share the old school game I'm best at. And I'm actually going to issue an open challenge to any LA hacker out there that wants to meet me at the Neon Retro Arcade, because I am the king of Galaga.
Oh, nice.
I could spend like an hour on that thing. I was going to say one quarter, but I guess I would spend my whole hour, my whole $15. All right. So, and I wanted to jump back into Old Pasadena because we talked a little bit about how amazing that location is, but Old Pasadena is just really special. I used to love going down there when I lived a little bit closer. Now I live a little farther out, but really, really love Old Pasadena. So I wanted to ask you guys if you could share a little bit about what you find so special about this area of Old Pasadena.
Yeah, definitely. It was, as I mentioned before, we did start looking, you know, to start thinking about our idea back in 2012. And, you know, for me, growing up in the area and just having spent a lot of time in Old Pasadena, it was something that to me, when I thought of like, where would be the best location for this type of concept? And it was always that it seemed like it would just be the perfect environment. There's like always a ton of foot traffic and there's so many restaurants and bars around, you know, but there aren't a ton of entertainment options. And I just felt like it'd be a really good fit. But specifically just, you know, the building that we're located in is actually built in the late 1800s. And it, you know, when you walk around Old Town, or I say Old Town, but the official name is Old Pasadena, but I always think of it as Old Town. But you know, when you walk around, you really notice the striking architecture and the level of effort that went into preserving it, which is really uncommon in, you know, the Southern California region, specifically obviously Los Angeles. And so for us, it was like, you know, this is really a cool place. Granted, you know, the history that, you know, of the architecture that's being captured, you know, really happens at a much different time than the video games we preserve, but there's still that link to like historical preservation, you know, just being able to kind of, you know, preserve history in this, you know, historical place is really cool. And certainly we've had the opportunity to build a lot of great connections in Pasadena. The city was, again, willing to hear us out, meet us, get to know us, and invest in the fact that, yeah, okay, they can make something happen here that will benefit the community. And we really appreciate that. And I think that's one of the best reasons for anyone to open a small business in the area. And we're glad we did.
Yeah. And, you know, whenever we were thinking through this process, you know, we'd go different places and say, hey, could you imagine an arcade here? And if so, kind of where would it be? And the funny thing is, you know, years before we were really seriously looking into it, but we just happened across what is now the building we're in. And it was just actually the unit next door to ours, and it was available, or it had, I think, just been leased. And we were like, that would be perfect. Oh man, this building is so great. I love it. But oh man, it's not available anymore. Oh, it's too bad. And then flash forward a couple of years when we were looking more seriously and we saw our building again. And this time, you know, we were very fortunate that it was available. And we said, I feel like this is it. Like it's meant to be, you know, it's just the perfect spot. And as Mia mentioned, you know, our building has an amazing history, built in the 1890s. And as we were building out the inside of it, we kind of realized, you know, the previous tenant had kind of covered up this one section. As we kind of uncovered it, we realized, wow, this is like original brick wall from that time. Mm-hmm. We're like, this is an amazing architectural feature. Like, we can't cover it up. You know, it has to be part of our, and so things like that sort of really help refine kind of our design of the space as well. Just, mm-hmm. you know, showcasing the history of the area and history of our building, especially because the arcade is really about the history of American gaming culture. So, you know, all these things really came together, and that's why I can't imagine, you know, a better place for our location.
Yeah, it's a beautiful building. It's a beautiful area. And there's just an energy to Old Pasadena. I think every time I walk around there, it just has its own energy. So it's a perfect place for the Neon Retro Arcade. All right, so let's get to our last question here. It's my favorite. I want you guys to put on your imagination hats. So Mark, there's no pinball machines breaking down, no machines to maintenance. Mia, there's nobody calling you with problems or employee issues.
How do you know our life? That's like exactly what happens every day.
Well, now I want you to use your imagination. Pretend like that's not happening. I don't know in what world that would not happen. But let's imagine you got the day off completely. And I wanted to see if you could share with us your perfect day in LA or Pasadena, from getting up to going to bed. Where would you go and what would you do for your dream day in Los Angeles or Pasadena?
Oh my gosh. Well, if we can use our imagination and pretend that LA traffic didn't exist, I think we can definitely answer this question. So I would say for us, probably starting off the day with a walk along the Strand in Manhattan Beach. It's like one of our favorite places to go in all of the area. It's just so beautiful and peaceful. And like, even though there are a lot of people walking around, it's just a great place to just kind of get your wits about you and like kind of clear the mind. So we really enjoy that for sure. Mark likes one of his spots nearby. Right? As soon as we leave, we always stop at Manhattan Beach Creamery and get a cream wish there. That might be a little early for that in our make-believe day.
But even if it's early, I always find a way to work it.
But I think then heading over to kind of Long Beach, there's a really great area there, Retro Row, over on 4th Street that we love kind of like just looking through and taking in terms of like, we always find like really cool little like toys and like knickknacks from our youth, like in the 80s, like kind of 90s time frame. So we always like looking around for stuff like that and uncovering little treasures. What Little Coyotes, an amazing place for lunch, like mm-hmm. amazing pizza there. So that would be cool. And then probably heading back over to something like, again, no traffic. If we're in our imagining world where traffic doesn't exist, like Amoeba Records, you know, out in Hollywood, just being able to like look through books, records, you know, things. I like pins and stickers a lot. They have a really cool collection there.
I think that, you know, the thing is, when you're a collector, you just have that mindset. You just have that bug. There's just something, it's like a compulsion almost. And so, yeah, for me, it very much lines up with the same things, but that's why I love going to a place where you could, I mean, for me, it's just going through records and just finding really cool old stuff. Or even they have a really neat kind of like a street fair here pretty close to our house periodically. I love going through there, just seeing all the cool stuff that they have. Some of it's things that are made, some of it's stuff that people have found.
Talking about the Topanga Vintage Market over here in Woodland Hills. We live in the valley, so that's kind of a great place to find some cool treasures. And definitely ending the night in Pasadena, though, because our heart really is there. I mean, we live out in the valley, but our heart is definitely in Pasadena. It's our community. It's like our home away from home. And you know, always ending the night there, maybe a few games tossed in there. So they're all working, right, Mark? And getting some dinner out in Old Pass. There's just hundreds of great places to check out. It would be hard to name just one, but yeah, that would be our day. Just kind of cruising around and really just kind of checking out some of our favorite spots that we really find a lot of peace and joy in. And yeah, we love LA. Like people, you know, with everything that's happened, this, you know, past year and a half or whatnot, it really just reinforces that this is, as hard as things get, like this is our happy place, like where our roots are. And, you know, this is our city and we can't imagine ever leaving it. So we feel very grateful to be here and definitely love being a part of this great community.
That's an awesome answer, guys. And I can tell you love Los Angeles because you went from the beach to Long Beach, to Manhattan Beach, to Pasadena, to the Valley. So you covered a lot of ground there.
Yes, we're all over. That's like, so we just need to invent our teleport to really like help us get all these places quicker.
All right, guys, it was so much fun having you on, Mia and Mark. I want to encourage everyone to go check out the Neon Retro Arcade in Old Pasadena. It's awesome. Where's the best place for people to go if they want to find out more information about the Neon Retro Arcade?
Definitely. I think the best place is always via Instagram. So at Neon Retro Arcade on Instagram and Facebook, certainly our website, neonretroarcade.com. We're easy to find, and we definitely really appreciate everyone coming and checking it out. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Thanks so much, Mia and Mark, and we'll talk to you again later.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Okay, welcome back, and thanks to Mia and Mark again for sharing with us the history of their cool little business, the Neon Retro Arcade. Make sure you stop by. Like we talked about, it's in such an amazing area of Pasadena. So if you're down there in Old Pasadena having dinner, it's great to stop by also the Neon Retro Arcade for some old school gaming. You can find them on Instagram at Neon Retro Arcade. Okay, on to my special hack. So we have a couple of really cool little arcade bars in Los Angeles I like to go to, but I'll often go to these two particular bowling alleys that have arcades in them. Now, I'm not a big bowler, but I like these places because they have decent arcades and games in them. And they also have TVs with sports on everywhere, and you can get pretty strong drinks that aren't very expensive, definitely not by LA standards. The first place I'm talking about is a chain called Bolero. I go to the one in Torrance because it's the closest to my house, but they have quite a few Boleros in Los Angeles. If you're not familiar with them, they're a little bit like Lucky Strike, where it's nice and updated arcade and bowling alley, but it's way less nightclubby and expensive than Lucky Strike. The other spot I go to is called X Lanes. It's a massive space on the top floor of a little mall in Little Tokyo. And like Bolero, it's updated and modern, but not pretentious. And they have a great bar, arcade games, good cheap drinks, and good food that's nearby in the mall. So when I want to play a few video games and let my kid run around and have fun, go crazy, I'll often go to one of these two bowling alleys where I can bowl a game or two, watch some sports, have a drink, and of course, play some games. Okay, guys, that's all I have for you this week. I'll talk to you again next time.